MedRec really means multiple things. It's MedRec on admission and then on discharge and through any transition of care, and there's lots of transitions of care. So it is kind of a complex goal, even though it sounds easy at first, just what medicines do you take, but it's actually really a whole lot more than that. So yeah, I think that's very perceptive that it's a lot of things.
Right, and adding the communication element.
Communication element.
We all talk about communication, but what does that mean to each of us when we're at those transitions of care?
Yep, and it's not one answer because, you know, one patient might be someone you can communicate with, but another patient might be somebody who's, you know, demented and going to a nursing home. So it's more than one process. So the four things are, for me, of why we're still talking about this 5 years after the National Patient Safety Goal came out. One is that it is surprisingly laborious to collect home med information. You know, patients may not understand their meds, may get them from multiple providers and or multiple pharmacies, and in a complex, disjointed healthcare delivery system involving both computerized and paper systems. So it is a laborious process and may require phone calls to pharmacies, physicians, family members, nursing facilities, can easily become a 20 to 30 minute exercise just to get a complete list of home meds for one patient. The hospitalist model may actually make it even harder because the hospitalist is not the primary care physician in most cases. So when we encounter a patient, we usually have no information other than what's available in an electronic record, which might be old. We don't know their meds, so we don't have the advantage of being that patient's doctor, usually. There are a lot of patients who get all their primary care through the hospital.
Yes.
And what I found is oftentimes the home med information is not gathered until the time of discharge, which is an already demanding time during the patient's stay. And at the time of discharge, you need to take time integrating or reconciling the inpatient meds with the home meds. So all that is very laborious, and I think that's probably reason number one why it's hard to get it done. The second thing I came up with was institutional barriers. By institutional barriers, I mean that successful medication reconciliation really requires interdisciplinary collaboration between pharmacy, nursing, and physicians, organizational commitment, and leadership. And you've got to have practitioners at the table to keep the focus on what's practical, not theoretical. If this becomes a performance improvement process, which is driven by people who don't actually do it, then you end up with these incredibly complex flowcharts and forms and algorithms that just don't work at the bedside. If you don't have the institution behind you saying, yes, this is important, and we'll commit some resources to it, and we'll bring in physician leadership and pharmacy leadership and get you all together and let you figure it out, then it's just not something that happens by itself.
Right. It's kind of parallel to a manufacturing organization giving a top-down template to those on the assembly line instead of getting their input first for which processes will actually function best.
And with that top-down approach, people just ignore what's coming down from the top, and they keep doing what they're doing. And what they're doing is workable but not accurate and falls short of the safety mandate the Joint Commission has defined. The third thing that I came up with was just that there's too many medication lists, which almost guarantees mismatches. I mean, by definition, if you only have one list, then it's reconciled.
Yes.
But if you have half a dozen lists, then it's almost impossible. And if you don't really coordinate this, then multiple med lists pop up. I mean, right now, on one of my patients, we might have a written admission note, a dictated admission note. There's something called a medication reference list, which the nurse fills out for every new patient as part of their nursing documentation. Then you have your discharge summary for the medical record, your discharge instruction sheet that you give to the patient, a Medicare-defined form called an FL2, which you send to the nursing facility. So there's six lists, and information technology can help a little bit in defining kind of a source of truth for this, but information technology can never automate the collection of home med information. It's a partial solution. And then the fourth thing was a fatigue factor. And the fatigue factor is after 5 years of working on any initiative, people get worn out and push it to the back burner unless they really are incentivized to stay on it.